Instagram stories for Friday, October 3rd. I'm your host, Daniel Hill, and this is the weekend edition of the Instagram stories. Before we get into today's episode, the show received a new review, and I love when I get new reviews because they are so encouraging. Here's what I got.
Great podcast to stay up to date. 5 stars. Such an awesome podcast with great info, plus insight on all the latest Instagram news and announcements. Delivered in a fun and exciting way. Heston.
Thank you for that review, Heston. If you would like to leave a review, the best place to do that is on Apple Podcasts, and you can get to that directly by using the link in the show notes. If for whatever reason you can't get to the link in the show notes, just go on Apple Podcasts, or if you still use iTunes, you could do that too, and search for the Instagram stories-social media news, and you will find to the show, and you can leave a review there. Okay, in today's episode, we're going to talk about Instagram's protections that they've put in place to keep teens safe on the platform. The head of Instagram is going to explain what's possible and how some of those protections work. Additionally, Ashley Coffey and I will dive into some AI news. Meta has announced that they're going to use the information you give them in Meta AI chats in order to advertise to you, and that would include what you record using your Meta AI glasses. There's no way to opt out, so don't worry about that. Additionally, we'll talk about the new Meta AI Vibes social media feed that is all AI-generated content, and OpenAI's Sora, which is very similar to what Meta is doing, focused around a social media feed with just AI-only content. All of that and more on today's episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back. As part of its effort to keep teens safe on the platform, the head of Instagram talked about some of the protections that are in place, including teen accounts and how they work. Here's the clip.
Teen accounts are an automatic set of protections that try and give parents some peace of mind and make sure that Instagram is an appropriate experience for their teens. They focus primarily on 3 things: what kind of content a teen can see, whether or not or who can reach out to that teen, so that unwanted contact is a concern we want to make sure we address, and then overall time, how much time a teen can spend on Instagram. These are the top concerns we hear from parents, and we wanted to make sure that teen accounts try to proactively address all 3. The most important setting is the privacy setting, I think, for your account. So is your account public or private? Teen accounts are private by default. If someone under 16 wants to go to public, they need to actually get their parents' permission, and so you're going to have to set up parental supervision. But at the end of the day, that's probably the most important setting that really creates the border of the risk that your teen might have from being online or on a platform like Instagram.
I would like to take this opportunity to point out that although it often seems like Meta cares about keeping teens safe on its platforms, that is patently not true. Meta recently announced that they have 3 billion monthly active users on Instagram. How would you grow that to 4 billion monthly active users? Well, you would look at people who are too young to use the platform on their own today, but who could use the platform in a controlled environment, and that would help to grow the number of monthly active users on Instagram. What do you have to do? Well, just get their parents' buy-in. Now, if you think that Meta is doing these protections properly, and I'm just making a big case out of nothing, I want to remind you about the former director of policy who worked at Facebook. Her name's Sarah Wynne Williams. She wrote a fantastic book, which I've mentioned on the show a few times, and she gave an interview to 60 Minutes where she talked about how Meta targets teens and in what ways they do that, and using the insecurity of teens in order to advertise to them. Does that sound disgusting and horrible? Yes, it is. Here's the clip.
So that younger audience, you know, 13 to 17 year olds, is incredibly valuable to Meta. That's an audience that advertisers really want to be able to reach. And Meta, with Instagram and WhatsApp and Facebook, is a really great place for advertisers to reach teenagers. And so the company is always trying to push further and further in the tools it develops to meet what advertisers want, to meet those needs. One of the things that I learned while I was there was that, so they developed up the ability to be able to target a teenager when they're feeling worthless and let advertisers know that information so that they can target an ad. So to give you an example, if a 13-year-old girl deletes a selfie, you know, she looks at the selfie and she's like, I don't actually want this on my Insta. I don't feel great about it. That's information that the company was able to take, and they were able to provide that as research to a beauty advertiser. Because to that beauty advertiser, they know that the moment that teen girl is feeling worthless is a really good time, from their perspective, to serve them a beauty advertisement. And that makes me feel sick. And the other thing that surprises me, and I was very shocked during my time in Silicon Valley, is how few of the executives allowed their teens to use the products. So to me, that tells me that they know.
Who ever thought that that would be a good idea with any sort of moral compass?
That was, you know, the questions that when I learned about it, I was exchanging with my team. How could this be the case? How can it be that you want to target young mothers or teenagers feeling worthless? I mean, this is one of the most valuable companies in the world. They have so much money. They don't need any more. They don't need to do.
But what would they say when you asked those questions?
So when I had the discussions, the business side felt like this was a real secret sauce, a real, you know, the sort of thing that they wanted actually all of their advertisers to know that they could do. So to them, any concerns that we had seemed to fundamentally not understand the business that Meta is in.
I'm going to stop the clip there, but it's obvious. Meta doesn't care about actually keeping teens safe on the platform. They just want the illusion of safety on the platform so that parents feel comfortable to give their teens access to Instagram. And also, this is a good time to mention the book that Sarah Wynne Williams wrote, which is called Careless People. As a reminder, she was a former director of public policy at Facebook, and she was definitely in Mark Zuckerberg's inner circle. So all her experiences are from firsthand knowledge. This book is riveting. If you haven't had a chance to read it, I definitely recommend it. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into this week's AI news. Meta is now going to be using what you type into its AI to target ads for you, including Meta's Ray-Ban glasses, and you can't opt out, and also Meta's AI social media feed that you can now browse. Stick around. Welcome back. Here's Ashley Coffey and I diving into this week's AI news. Let's talk about Meta's plans to sell targeted ads based on data in your AI chats. They announced this on Wednesday that they're going to sell targeted ads across all their social media platforms based on what you've been giving their AI products. This is going to start on December 18th. Now, this has long been a plan of Meta's to build detailed profiles of all of its users, whether Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, to sell them targeted ads. And they've always offered advertisers a way to do that. But this is the first time that they'll be able to build off that data that they're getting from AI. So if you've written things into Meta's AI, they can now use those things to advertise to you. This also means that Meta may use data from the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses, including video recordings, pictures, and videos that are analyzed with AI to further target its ad products. There is no way to opt out, according to Meta. Ashley, what are your thoughts on this?
Not surprised. I saw this coming from a million miles away. Seriously, though, I actually made a chatbot, a Meta AI chatbot for my business account, Coffee and Consult, and I named it Tech Tips Trixie as like a resource to ask for tech tips and not have to feel ashamed for asking things like, how do I reset my password? You know, some of the things that people need to ask but are afraid to. And ever since Meta has been really leaning into this chatbot, the usage has like spiked exponentially. I've been getting notifications that it's had like over 5,000 conversations, and I see none of that. I see none of that. So the fact that one, I've created and curated a chatbot that interacts with people on my behalf because it's my company, Instagram, and I don't see a single thing of that, but Meta does. That means like I am the producer. That means I am the laborer. I am the person bringing the person to the platform. So I don't know how I feel about that, but in this world, of course, Meta wants to be the first to be able to harvest all that data in meaningful ways using AI. So I'm not surprised.
You would think they would let you see the chat so you could make informed decisions about your business and what content to create based off that. But clearly that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, wild times.
Let's continue with our next stories. There are two companies now that have AI apps with social media feeds. Meta's AI app has a feed called Vibes, which is all about creating and sharing short-form AI-generated videos like TikTok or Instagram Reels, but essentially just 100% AI-generated. Additionally, OpenAI has announced ChatGPT's Sora, which is a social media app where users can generate videos of themselves and their friends to share in a TikTok-style feed. Now, what's interesting about this is the Sora app has an upload yourself feature called Cameos, which allows users to drop themselves into any Sora-generated scenes. If you want your likeness to be part of this app and be able to be used to generate AI videos, you upload a one-time video and audio recording of yourself to verify your identity and give your appearance. What I really like about this OpenAI Cameo feature is you can also share your likeness, your Cameo, with your friends. So you can give others permission to include your likeness in videos that they are generating, including videos of multiple people together. There's more to this story, but let's just pause right here. Ashley, what do you think so far of this concept in general?
I'm torn because on one hand, I'm like, this is so cool. I can't wait to use it. But on the other hand, I'm like, what happens if someone abuses this, right? Which is highly possible. Right. Yesterday I watched a bunch of iJustine videos of how she was using it. And I was like, this is very fun. It's very entertaining. And it seems to be really, I would say, crisp. You would not know it's AI just by the naked eye if you weren't informed in advance. I will say I've seen a combination or a comparison between Google's Veo 3 and Sora and what that looks like of how it handles physics. And it looks like it's not quite there sophisticated yet on how it handles physics, but I have a feeling it's going to train itself very quickly. But we should do some kind of collaboration now.
I would love to do that. And to me, that's really the interesting part of this Cameo is the ability to create videos with my friends without them physically being there, without us needing to be on a Zoom together, or even if we're creating a skit or something like that. You don't have to come to my house. I don't have to drive to your house. If you agree that I can use your likeness and you're okay with the content before I post it, that we can ask AI to generate that content for us. Is it as fun? No, but we've saved a lot of time and we can generate content faster. So maybe that is different. Fun in a different way. I don't know. But I think that's something that is a really good use case. And for someone who's busy or doesn't have time to create content, to be able to do that with others without traveling is a concept that I absolutely love.
We're a great use case for that. You're in New Jersey. I'm in Oklahoma. We've always wanted to do some kind of like fun video collaboration together. Yes, it'd be amazing to be in the same place, but what better way to kind of simulate that and bring some of that to the audience without having to, you know, hop on a plane? And
now there are some cons about this OpenAI Sora app that I want to get into. So first, there's an OpenAI pre-training researcher named John Hallman, and he said in a post on X, quote, AI-based feeds are scary. I won't deny that I felt some concern when I first learned that we were releasing Sora 2. That said, I think the team did the absolute best job they possibly could in designing a positive experience. We're going to do our best to make sure AI helps and does not hurt humanity, end quote. As we were about to start recording this, I saw that TechCrunch had an article about how this app was now filled with terrifying Sam Altman deepfakes, where people had taken his image, his likeness, his voice, and created content around that. It's very concerning that you could so easily create content with someone else's image, likeness, voice, and people might accept that as real. Obviously, this is not the first time we've seen anything like that, but having a feed that's just AI content gives so much opportunity for this. A lot of cons. Ashley, what are your thoughts?
I agree. Like, I would be, as a business owner and a podcaster, I would be terrified if I saw a video floating around of me saying something that I would never say or doing something that I would never do. And that has serious reputational risks, both personally and professionally. So this is very dangerous territory. So I would recommend only collaborating with people that you trust and be careful about the people that you collaborate with that you don't know. You know, it's a slippery slope, and a lot of things are coming that we are just not prepared for as a society. And this is one of them. Another one that I heard yesterday is the ability to create, like, we're really close to the ability to create designer babies of take it together and be able to choose the attributes of, I want a baby to be blonde or have brown eyes and to be a girl.
Eventually 6 feet tall or whatever.
Yes.
Yes. You're right.
We're not ready for this. It's kind of wild, but it's happening in real time in front of our eyes.
I really hope that OpenAI put in more protections, whatever are necessary, to prevent that from happening, that no one can take your likeness based on videos or other, even just people walking around and take a video of them and upload it and be able to use their likeness. So hoping that there are more security measures put in place to prevent that kind of going forward.
Me too.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. Thank you for listening all the way to the end. After the rap music, I'm going to do a weekend waffle because I feel like there's other things I want to talk about. And so if you want to hang on just a little bit longer after the music, you can hear me talk about a topic that is unrelated to social media.
Yeah, let's get it. The year was 2013. You posted your first pic and you're glad you posted the scene. Your friends liked it too, but what you didn't know is what posting on that platform would do. Taking all your time and attention, doom scrolling. Also, let me mention, you gotta post on every platform, putting content on every set just to conform. Likes gave you validation and you got hooked. Now engagement is down, you feeling overlooked. Hey, keep coming back for more podcasts and find me on Instagram at Daniel Hill Media. I'm gone.
Taylor's new album came out today, and I want to talk about it very briefly. First, a little bit of context. My favorite Taylor Swift albums are 1989, Reputation, and Lover. So I hold those three as the gold standard for Taylor Swift albums. And since those albums, nothing she has created has really, in my mind, lived up to what I loved about 1989, Reputation, and Lover. Having said that, this new album is definitely in that direction. Right off the bat, the first track, The Fate of Ophelia, is very catchy to me. I really like it. It's not as good as I Forgot That You Existed or some of the other songs that I love on the previous albums, but that actually sets the bar very high for me for the rest of the album. To me, the rest of the album doesn't exactly live up to the first track, but there are songs on the album that I really like. I think Wood is great. I think The Life of a Showgirl is great. Again, not 1989 level, but in the ballpark-ish. I would love to hear your thoughts of the album. Send me a DM at Daniel Hill Media and we can discuss the most recent Taylor Swift album.